This is the Faith Conversations podcast. Here we bring people of faith to the table for honest and authentic conversations about personal faith journeys and what it is like to have a personal relationship with God. Hi, friends. Welcome to the Faith Conversations podcast. This is Jessica Cabrera, your host. We're excited to be here today with Monica Batchelor, who's the Director of Worship Arts Ministry at Burke Community Church, to talk about her faith journey. Monica is someone who I've been friends with for some time now, actually pretty much since I moved to the Northern Virginia area. And she was leading the Working Women Honor God ministry that I'm now also leading, because she's had some changes in her life since then that she might talk about today. I'm not sure. But we just connected through that ministry initially and then just became friends. And I'm not really sure if she knows it or not, but actually her faith journey and her career journey in light of God's hand on her life has actually been an incredible inspiration to me. When she was at, when I first met her, she was working at the Pentagon. And I just remember her talking about prayer walking the halls at the Pentagon and really surrendering the work that she was doing at the Pentagon to the Lord on a daily basis. And that was so inspiring to me. I was new to the DC area, and just to know that there were believers in the halls of the Pentagon praying before the workday started, where really big national and international decisions were being made, was something that just really opened my eyes to the world of the influence of Christians in the workplace and the influence of God in our lives, just in our society. And so I'm just really thankful for Monica as a friend, and it's an honor and a privilege to be here to talk to her today about her faith journey. So Monica, thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, I think that everyone would love to hear just about your background. I mean, tell us simple stuff like where you're from, you know, how'd you grow up, that kind of stuff. And then tell us how you ended up coming to know Jesus.
Well, that's a long story.
I know. I know. I make it sound so easy, right? Like you can just put a bow on a package. No, yes. Just tell us whatever you want to share with us.
Well, I think what's really important to know is, my family and where I come from, because it's a huge part of my faith mm-hmm. and my journey, the good and the bad. So I'm first generation American. My dad fled communist East Germany in the late 1950s. My grandpa, my opa, he was a pastor, and there was a lot of oppression. The Soviets weren't very fond of religion or faith, for that matter. So my dad, my grandpa, my grandma, and my aunt fled to the United States via Ellis Island and ended up in Milwaukee and built a church there. And then my mom was a daughter of German Mennonite missionaries who traveled throughout tribal areas in South America. So that's where she grew up. My dad and my mom were met at a missions fest in Germany, became pen pals. They got married.
How cute.
It's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool story. And in December of 1975, my dad flew back to Germany, married my mom, brought her to the United States. And then in December of 76, I was born.
Wow.
So first generation American, very proud of my German heritage. My dad's family built a German Pentecostal church in Milwaukee called the Freie Christi Gemeinde. And that's the church that I grew up in. It was a family church. The majority of my dad's family, the Fritz family, left East Germany and all ended up in Milwaukee because of the kind of the German background there. And so that's the church I grew up in. And so I learned of Jesus very early on. Mm-hmm. Like my earliest memories are of, you know, going to church Sunday morning, hanging out with family during lunchtime on Sunday, going back to church Sunday night, hanging mm-hmm. out after church on Sunday. So church was like the center of our lives growing up, which is great. But I would also say my church experience early on was not a good one. Mm-hmm. So it was mostly about the wrath of God, the judgment of God. Mm-hmm. We never learned about his love, his grace, his mercy. Those words were not part of what we were taught. So that was really hard. And what compounded that was that I didn't kind of fit their traditional mold of what a good woman, mm-hmm. a Christian woman in their eyes looked like. And so I was athletic. I like to wear pants and not dresses. I wanted to cut my hair. I wanted to go to college. I had all these dreams of joining the military and doing things for my country. And that was just frowned upon. So right away I was met with just judgment and disdain, and
you didn't feel like you belonged.
Oh no, not at all. Not at all. I still remember being so freaked out that I was putting nail polish on my fingers because I thought I was going to get like struck by lightning, because that's really what we were taught. So it was really confusing to me. And then, you know, what made it even worse was that when I was six, my dad got leukemia, and it was a quick, but very nasty disease, and he died. And, you know, and I remember learning about the church taking care of the widows and the orphans, and I didn't feel that from this church that was my family. And then I saw my mom struggle, because, you know, she fit that mold of, you know, staying at home, taking care of the kids, eighth grade education, and all of a sudden her husband dies. And
wow,
we struggled, right?
And how many kids in the family?
Just myself and my brother, a younger brother.
Okay.
And so I saw her struggle, and I saw her cry out to God, why would you let this happen? You know, and we lived in poverty. I mean, we didn't know if we would have a meal the next day. And growing up in Wisconsin, it was cold, right? And we had Child Protective Services called because my mom didn't put us in boots or warm enough clothing. And it was rough. It was a really, really rough childhood. And I just didn't see God. I'm like, where are you? You know, my mom was so faithful, and, you know, we're always at church, and that's what I thought, right? And so I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting punished. Clearly, the nail polish put him over the edge. You know what I mean? So clearly the fact that I could, you know, sink a three-pointer better than boys, like clearly I did something.
There was something wrong with you.
100%. And I caused this. And, you know, and so it was a real struggle. And so my relationship with God was one based on fear. It was a fear that my mistakes were causing these bad things to happen to my family, were causing my mom to do some unhealthy things in her life because she was frustrated and didn't know what to do. You know, basically alone in a country that was still new to her, a language that she was still learning with two young kids. And so I basically said, well, God, if you're not going to do this for us, if you're not going to help us, then I'm just going to control it all and I'll figure it out myself. And that's really, it was this just not great relationship with God because it was just all almost, based on fear. Yeah.
And this probably like a battle with him.
Yes.
Like, I'm going to prove to you. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and I didn't, and that's what I grew up with. Right. Because that's what I thought for my family, because it was this, like, you do this, he will do this to you. Right.
Yeah.
And never
like an exchange relationship.
Exactly.
Right.
Never a, hey, we all fail, we all goof up, but he's there and he loves you anyway. And P.S., we love you too, because we're your family and your church family. Like, none of that existed. And so it was pretty easy for me to kind of turn my back to that, because it didn't feel good at all. It felt really bad. It felt really
right,
bad.
Right, run for the hills.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so what it ended up being was like, all right, we're going to get straight A's in school because there's no way my mom's paying for college, right? So I'm going to have to like ace all my classes. I'm going to need to do all the sports that I can, student government. Like, I was the overachiever, right? I mean, I got all the good grades. And I was also really determined to, I've always had the desire to serve my country. You know, service is definitely my love language. And my dad also just instilled this in my brother and I, you know, you are so blessed to live in the United States, because he knew what it was like to live under communism. And he was like, you will give back to this country because of all they've given to us. And so it was really important to me. And so my plan was to join the Air Force. I did junior ROTC in high school, and I really excelled at that. And then I also got an ROTC scholarship for college, but then I blew my knee and I lost that. And again, I'm like, God, what did I do to deserve this? Right. Again, I'm thinking I did something wrong. And so it's always been, like you said, it's like this battle. I was always in conversation with him, but yet never at a point where I was just surrendering.
Yeah.
Right. And that never happened. I was like, okay, well, clearly I need to do more and be even better, because that's what I need to do. So it was tough.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. thank you for sharing that, because I think it's important to understand the tension that people live in before they come to know the grace and the mm-hmm. love of God that delivers us and frees yeah. us from all of that. And also that you can struggle in this battle with God for an extended period of time, sometimes a lifetime,
yeah.
before you come to really find that freedom. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, and I can also see God's hand in it, even though in the moment there wasn't a feeling of God being present, just because I know your life now, mm-hmm. I can, even just in this early story, this early account of your life, I can see God's hand there. So after all of this hardship mm-hmm. and really this struggle with the Lord, mm-hmm. what was it that drew you to him? How did yeah. you end up coming to know him?
I mean, I feel like I knew him all along. Uh-huh. I just suppressed it, right?
Okay. 'Cause
he definitely yeah, yeah. pursued me the whole time, mm-hmm. but I just kept thinking, again, that I needed to do all the things, right? Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't going to end up like my mom. I was going to be successful, and that I had it all figured out. So I think I knew him for sure, mm-hmm. but I definitely didn't allow him, like I said, I didn't allow him to be my center or to just submit. I just didn't allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. But it honestly wasn't really until we came to BCC, and that was, and so I was pretty old at the time, because I'm old now, but it was like 15 years ago now, mm-hmm. right? Because even up until then, I had, you know, a marriage that my first marriage was not successful. Mm-hmm. It was not a good situation, and it ended up pretty poorly, you know, and then I got the job at the Pentagon, and I worked really hard to get that job, and I poured my everything into that, and, you know, 60-hour work weeks, and just traveling and doing a lot of amazing things, mm-hmm. all thinking I'm serving, you know, I'm mm-hmm. serving my country, which I did. And I feel so honored that I had that opportunity and God allowed me to do that. But again, I was super focused on that.
And did you have kids at some point? Yeah,
okay. And all of that.
So when did that fit into things?
So in my first marriage, I had early on, I had my oldest Logan, mm-hmm. And then Lucas I had as well. They're now, Logan is 25 and Lucas will be 20 next month. Mm-hmm. So I had them with my first marriage. They're absolutely wonderful. I mm-hmm. think they actually saved me quite honestly and humbled me, which I needed, because I was definitely thinking I had it all together. Mm. But kids show you quickly that you do not.
I know. And I've watched Monica with her kids, and she just adores them, like,
they're
with
the best.
All of her heart.
They're just so yeah. beautiful. They're just wonderful gifts. Mm-hmm. And then Thomas, who's mm-hmm. My seventh grader, my youngest I've had with Jason. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when we ended up at BCC, I finally had the opportunity to be surrounded by women who loved Jesus, but also loved me.
Mm. Right.
I was seen, I was heard. And when I felt comfortable enough to talk about what I had experienced up till then, they were like, man, we love you, we hear you. Mm-hmm. Let's pray about it. Let's talk about it. There wasn't any judgment, but there was encouragement and there was accountability. Uh-huh. Right. And a lot of that happened at WOW, like Paige, Diane,
yeah.
Stacey Knight, like they changed my life. Really.
Right.
And
WOW is Women of the Word.
Yes.
It's a Wednesday night Bible study program that is available at this church.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing, and it helped because, I mean, I could come at night after work, and sometimes I come straight from the Pentagon, mostly straight from the Pentagon,
right.
straight to Bible study. He just started it was amazing. Mm-hmm. Like I could just feel the Holy Spirit every time we were in those classes, the prayer, the love, the fact that I just did not feel like an outcast. Mm. I mean, the love, that was the biggest thing. You know, right. We just talked about this a couple of weeks ago with Marty, love one another. Mm-hmm. It seems so simple when you say it.
Right.
But when you grow up and you don't have it.
Yeah.
And I was old, like I'm in my 30s and right. I'm finally feeling like I'm loved.
Right.
That's huge. And, you know, they encouraged me to be in prayer. They encouraged me to be in scripture. And then, and I've always loved to sing. My mom, you know, growing up, she sang in the choir, and she had this beautiful alto voice. I can still hear her voice. My dad played guitar for the band at our church. And so music has always been a huge part of our life. It actually helped my mom teach English, listening to country music. It was hilarious. I mean, she had like, we lived in Wisconsin. She had a Wisconsin accent with like a Southern twang, but it helped her, you know, learn English. And so music has always been a huge part of our lives. And so Jason was like, why don't you just try out for the choir? And I'm like, what? I don't know. And I did that. And, you know, another place where I just felt loved and accepted and, yeah, and worship for me is where I meet God directly. Yeah. I mean, it's just, for me, that's the most powerful thing. And so that really, I met him there, you know, yeah, and he was so gracious to open that door. And so really it was this church, it was the people of this church that really finally spurred me on and loved me, that made me see, you know, Jesus's fingerprints are all over my life. Mm-hmm. But I didn't realize that until my late 30s, because I was still living in this like, I need to fear him. I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
I'm not loved. Nobody sees me. I'm alone. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've thought most of my life. I still struggle with that now.
Right.
But I can always come back to Jesus, and I just give it to him. And sometimes I give him that multiple times a day.
Right.
And it's definitely something I struggle with. But now I know that I am loved. I know that that Jesus is gracious. And faithful, and those are the things I focus on, and it's just basically changed my life.
Yeah. Understanding his love, his graciousness, his faithfulness sounds like it rescued you from that fear.
Yeah.
And from feeling like you were under that condemnation.
Yeah.
That was, I'm not good enough, I have to prove something, or you're not going to do it, so I'm going to do it.
Exactly.
You know, and I can just see how him letting you begin to see these other facets of his character really delivered you from that heavy burden.
Yeah. It's the whole idea of like from fear to freedom.
Yes.
I mean, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. 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 Also, I know when we were in the Working Women Ministry together, I would listen to Monica talk about like what she had done for the week, you know, and sometimes, you know, it was like she was saying, these 60-hour work weeks, she has 3 kids, you know, doing all these things at home. She would talk about doing, you know, like PTO type stuff at the school, or like helping her kid with a poster project for his class. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't do that stuff. And I do not have a 60-hour week at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
But then she would come to rehearsal to be with the worship ministry. And she would say with such conviction, and I can remember you saying this many times with such conviction during our meetings, that is something that is absolutely a non-negotiable for me. Right. I have to do it.
Yeah.
And you had such, and what you're saying is that being in worship through music is something that just helps you come face to face with God himself, mm-hmm, and you see him for who he is, and you're experiencing that love and that grace and that deliverance that he's given to you. And it just brings you back every single time. I think that's so beautiful. Mm-hmm. So if anyone's listening and you're not really a worship music person, I highly recommend you give it a shot. Yeah. It's not about the style of the music. I know that the rest of the music industry is all about style and like finding the thing that is your preference for the musical, you know, style. Now, granted, there's lots of, you know, great Christian music out there that has great style, but I would really say that it's less about the style of the music or preference of the music, and it's more about the music really facilitating, mm-hmm, your process of coming before the Lord in an honest and authentic kind of way, mm-hmm, and seeing him for who he is and letting him see you for who you are, mm-hmm, and understanding that it's safe. Yeah. It's safe just to be who you are before the Lord, even if you don't feel worthy. he's there for people who aren't worthy. He covers our shortcomings so that we can come before him. So yeah. I just, since worship is such a huge part of your life, I want to encourage our listeners to really lean into that if that's something that you're not doing on a regular basis. I'm also sharing this because I have a personal experience with this as well. I mean, worship is just something that I don't understand it at times. I'm floored, breathtaken sometimes how I can be in a scurry in the morning. My mind can be all over the place. And then I can sit down with an intentional heart before the Lord with music. Mm-hmm. And within a minute or two, I'm in tears because of my gratitude towards him for saving my soul.
Yeah.
And for coming and pursuing me and bringing me into relationship with him. I just can't get over it. And I've been in this relationship with him for 30 years now. And I just am still so taken aback by this opportunity. So I'm right there with you as far as how valuable worship is to us.
100%. I mean, and there's something too about, at least for me, I wake up every morning and I already have a song in my head, right? And so waking up and having, you know, your mind filled with the good news, filled with the proclamation that you are loved and, you know, the power of his grace and his faithfulness, that's powerful. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what you should be waking up with, right? And so I am constantly, people joke here too, that I'm whistling, singing, humming all around the church all the time.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, and I actually encourage that for my kids, like that, you're pouring that over yourself.
Yeah.
That is what you should be doing. And that's what should be in your brain. You know, we always talk about filling your brain with positive things and filling your brain with the word and the word through worship, I think, is just so unbelievably important, and it's very important to me.
And song is a great way to learn how to memorize scripture
100%,
as well. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. The brain just works better whenever it's put to music.
Agree.
Yeah. So tell me, are there any experiences you want to share with us while we're in this conversation today? Any times when you've really felt the Lord's presence was super evident in your life, whether, you know, at whatever juncture of your story?
I mean, he definitely, like I said earlier, his fingerprints are all over my life. And I think it's important that, you know, we reflect on those things. And for me it is, because like I said, I often felt like I was alone, and clearly I've never been alone. He's been with me the whole way. And so, you know, there are big moments, but there are also day-to-day moments. And I find that those small day-to-day moments are almost more important. But those are the ones that people don't talk about.
Right.
I mean, but I would say like big moments for sure. Like right after I had my first son, I was diagnosed with cancer. And that was a really, you know, rough part of my life and unexpected. I was super young. I was in my early 20s, and my dad having passed of cancer, you know, right away my brain went to, oh, here we go.
Right.
But God was there. Like he showed up, you know, he healed my body even after some recurrences, and the fact that it was thyroid cancer and they took the thyroid out and a bunch of lymph nodes, it in theory should have impacted my ability to sing, right? And I actually did damage vocal cords, but I can sing because of God, right? I mean, it's unbelievable, and he showed up there. I mean, and I think, you know, just recently the shift from the Pentagon to working full time here at Burke is a total God thing, right? I mean, I had
100%. I've watched it from the sidelines.
Oh, my Lord.
I mean, crazy. He orchestrated everything in such a way.
I mean, that story, I mean, basically, really, I mean, Jessica knows me. Like, I'm a type A. I had a plan.
Yeah.
My plan was a 30-year Pentagon plan.
Yeah.
And that had been my plan all along. And I was reaching my 20-year point last year when someone at church basically said to me, hey, have you considered working full-time for worship? And I looked at them and I was like, what?
That question alone is remarkable, because you were in this very high position in the Pentagon. Like, so for someone to approach you and even ask you that question, I think is... remarkable.
And I think my face was just like, what? No. But deep down, mm-hmm. God knew that, and my husband and I had been talking about, like, I need to figure out what I'm going to do next, because these 20 years have been really hard.
Right.
Hard on the family, hard on my body. Like, I'm getting older. I don't know how much longer I can do this. But in my mind, I'm thinking, ugh, I'm going to get some other promotion somewhere else in the Pentagon, maybe in a less, you know, high op tempo office. Maybe, oh, dare I leave the Pentagon, and maybe I'll go to State Department, right? And
right.
So these are the things I'm telling myself. You know, and no one knows I'm having this conversation
right.
with myself, with
right.
God, or with my husband. And then for someone to say, have you considered, it was very convicting.
Yeah.
Very, very convicting. And I remember on the ride home from church that Sunday, I said to Jason, I'm like, yeah. You know, they think I should interview for this job. That's crazy, right? Right? It's crazy. And he's like, yeah, but why wouldn't you interview? What's the worst that could happen? I'm like, well, I got to take like leave from work. And he's like, oh my gosh, just do it. And so on a leap of faith in September of 2024,
right.
I had the interview. And it wasn't really an interview. It was just an unbelievably beautiful, gracious conversation with amazing people of Burke. And then the next day they're like, you know, if you're sure you want to do this, and they kept saying, you realize it's a pay cut. And I was like, yes, I know it's a pay cut. They're like, no, like a major pay cut. I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. And you know, my husband and I prayed, and he was like, we'll figure it out. And you know, through a leap of faith, I did it. And then I started in November, 2024, just a couple of days after my 20-year work anniversary. So I was able to do early retirement through the Pentagon, and it was just, God was so gracious.
I know.
Because the stuff I was working on,
yes.
had I been doing it now, I would have lost my mind.
Yes.
So he was just protecting me and loving on me.
That's what I'm saying. Like, no one knew. And we're recording this podcast in 2025, and there was an administration change in January of 2025, and her job at the Pentagon just blew up into pieces.
Tiny pieces.
Yeah, exactly. At this juncture, and she would have been caught up in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
And of course she didn't know it. I mean, she had no idea. God was just moving these pieces. And then, once she got into the church role as well, shifts and changes took place, and she's doing even more leadership now than she was when she was initially hired. So just really exciting. I have loved watching that from the sidelines and like texting you and being like, whoa, look at what God is doing.
He's so good.
Yeah, so amazing. But I do want, before we wrap up, I do want to circle back to your comment about like, in the big stuff, but mm-hmm. also in the little stuff, because I do think that, you know, there are people listening right now that have never had any type of like, oh, God was with me whenever my marriage failed or my dad passed away or mm-hmm. my job changed or whatever. And they're wondering, maybe God's not there with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so can you just talk for a second about this day to day, like he's, you know, experiencing God that you were referencing?
Yeah. I mean, I really think it's about connection, right? Mm-hmm. I like to say to myself, connection, not perfection, because I'm one who leans toward perfection, right? And it's starting my day with worship. It's starting my day in the Word and just having worship throughout the whole day, right? And I see him in all those moments. I see him when my son is struggling with something, and then my verse that morning happens to be like, you know, a John 10:10, for example. Mm-hmm. That is not a coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
That is a small God moment that's actually huge for my day, right? It could be, you know, we're trying to figure out the song list, which we always do very prayerfully for a Sunday. And then God just gives us a song that's unbelievable. And, you know, and then you have someone in the congregation that says, I needed that today,
mm-hmm.
right? I hadn't planned to do that,
mm-hmm.
but God put it on our heart to do it. That's a God thing. Those mm-hmm. are small moments. It's when, you know, I've had a long day at work and I get home and have no idea what I'm gonna cook for dinner. And my youngest, who has some learning disabilities, is struggling with homework and I need to help him with that. And the dog needs to go out and all the things are happening. And I know in that moment, I can just go in my pantry and say, God, I need you right now.
Mm-hmm.
and he shows up, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so those moments. It's those moments that actually to me are more important than the big ones. I think sometimes we have the tendency to think we need this big, awesome, amazing thing to happen. Mm-hmm. But it's the small moments day to day that just where he shows up that are just unbelievable to me and just show me how beautiful and just, I mean, I was thinking too, like looking off out of my office window at the beautiful leaves, right? Those are dying dead leaves. And they are the most beautiful
and
thing.
They're so pretty.
It's unbelievable, right? And those are small moments too. And I think the other thing I'm really working on, and Thomas and I are actually doing this together, it's how can we focus on being grateful? And so we actually, and that helps too, because you don't recognize those small moments if you don't stop and reflect. And so we have this list on our refrigerator. And yesterday he wrote, I'm grateful for yummy hot chocolate. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, yeah, you know, me too. And so it's reflecting and seeing where he is in all these small moments. Cause I promise you that he is, he's in all those moments. He cares about all those moments. He's a God of the details, the details of your life. And that is so powerful. So powerful.
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the fact that God of the universe would be in our pantry with us, meeting us in the midst of that juggle is phenomenal. And it's something that I can't even put into words.
Yeah.
I have no words to describe how just remarkable that is. I don't even have the words to
say. Awe. Yeah. Awe is my word.
And it's also something that I want anyone listening that has never experienced that, or that it only thinks of God as this big, like, God, umbrella God, you know, to please understand that God came to meet us right where we are.
Exactly.
And so he is so personal, and it's absolutely remarkable that he is that way with us.
Yeah.
So Monica, any closing thoughts? I always like to ask people if they have advice for someone who might be struggling to believe right now. Is there anything you'd like to say to that person?
Man, I would say God loves you. You may not feel it, but he does. You know, I mean, I'm the perfect example of that. He is gracious and loving. And don't wait. I waited way too long to recognize that. But, you know, I would say, man. Sorry.
Yeah. It's emotional.
It's very emotional.
He's there. You're not alone.
Sorry. I'm trying not to cry. I'm trying to keep together.
Hey, it's a podcast. They can't see you. It's totally fine.
I'm an ugly crier. But yeah, he is there. He loves you. He can take the most broken, ugly, filthy life and make it brand new.
Amen.
Right. It's the whole idea, like I said, from fear to freedom.
That's right.
Right. I mean, and that's what he did for my life. My life was ugly. It was dirty. It was messy. I was running from him. I was trying to control everything myself, and it didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. It wasn't until I completely surrendered and said, just take it, take it from me. And I love you and I'm sorry. And his mercies are new every morning.
Mm-hmm.
How amazing is that? You can have a crummy day and then you wake up and it's a beautiful Monday and you get to start all over and Jesus loves you. He just loves you. And
it's a new world with him.
100%. Yeah.
Love it. Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you.
This has been a beautiful conversation.
Thanks, Jessica.
Go to the description of today's episode to find more information about what we discussed. If you like this podcast, please click follow, share it with a friend, or leave us a review. And get excited because new episodes release every week.